Last week we started a study on Jonah. How many here have heard of the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament? All right, it's a short book. It's only four chapters long. And we started studying Jonah last week. And the subtitle of the message last week was to obey or not to obey. To obey or not to obey. And how many here know the account of Jonah? Anybody ever study the account of Jonah? Well, this is the story of Jonah. God spoke to Jonah and he gave him a divine mandate. He said, Jonah, I am calling you to go and preach repentance to the nation of Nineveh. To the nation of Nineveh. You find that in Jonah chapter 1, verse 2. And in verse 3, it says that Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. So God says to Jonah, go to Nineveh, and instead, what does Jonah do? Jonah runs in the opposite direction towards Tarshish. So what did Jonah do? God said, do one thing, go to one city. Jonah goes to the other city. So what was Jonah living in? He was living in disobedience and rebellion to God. He was not obeying what God was telling him to do. And, you know, there's negative consequences for disobedience to God. There's negative consequences. And in Jonah's life, one of the negative consequences was that there was a storm that arose on the sea as a result of Jonah's disobedience. And eventually, as you read chapter 1, they threw Jonah overboard. And there was another negative consequence as a result of Jonah's disobedience to God's mandate. It's found in Jonah 1, verse 17. It says, God provided a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And so what was the other negative consequence of Jonah's disobedience? He was found in the belly of a whale. And could you imagine living in the belly of the whale for 3 days and 3 nights? It must have been hot in there. Amen? He was probably perspiring. It smelled in the belly of the whale. He had seaweed wrapped around his head. And friend, you may be in the belly of a whale experiencing your life today. I don't know exactly what it is that God has told you to do in the past. There may be something that God has spoken to you in the past about doing, and maybe you did your own thing. And God was telling you, I want you to do my will, but instead you said, no, God, I want to do my own will, like Jonah. That's what Jonah was saying. Jonah was saying, God, away with your will, and with, I want to do my own will. And you may be in the belly of a whale today. Maybe God has spoken to you something specifically in the past, and you just ignored his voice, and you disobeyed, you rebelled, you did your own thing, and perhaps you're here today as a result of rebelling against God, as a result of disobeying what God told you to do. And last week we also talked about how to obey what God wants us to do. How do we obey what God wants us to do? Well, Jonah, if you read the prophet Jonah, Jonah had two different options in his life. What were Jonah's options? Jonah's options were to remain in disobedience and to remain in the belly of the whale as a result, or to do what God was wanting him to do, which was to do what? To preach repentance to Nineveh. So Jonah's two options, simply put, was to remain in disobedience or to be obedient to God. Amen? He had two options. And friends, you may have two options in life. There may be choices that you're facing today, and it may be a good thing as opposed to the God thing. You may be faced with choices in your life right now. Should I stay in Tulsa or should I move to San Francisco? Should I take this educational path or should I go to this school? You see what I'm saying? Should I marry this person, Jane, or should I marry Sally? Should I move to this apartment community or should I move to this other apartment community? Should I become a member of this church or a member of this other church? So every single one of us, friends, faces options. Would you agree? About one thing or another. This city or that city. This ministry or that ministry. This church or that church. This relationship or that relationship. We all face options in life. And that's exactly what Jonah was facing. He was facing options in life to either disobey or to obey what God was telling him to do. Amen? And a lot of times when people face options in life, and this may have been you at some point in the past, when people face options in life, they immediately go to their finite minds. It sounds like a really good idea to move to San Francisco. It might be a really good idea to move to Dallas. It may be a really good idea to move to this mission. It may be a really good idea to take this job instead of this job. And you know what, friends? When you consult your own finite minds about which option to take, you end up doing the good thing as opposed to the God thing. The God thing is always the best thing for your life. And remember this, good is the enemy of best. If you're only consulting your own finite mind about what is the good thing for you to do, you'll only end up doing the average and the good thing and not the God thing that He has for your life. Amen? But how many want to do the God thing, the best thing that God has in store for them? I want to do the best thing. I want to do the God thing. How about you? So in order to do the God thing, you have got to be consulting the Spirit of the living God. And if you consult only your finite mind on which option to take, you'll end up doing the good thing. You might be walking rebelliously. Amen? Just like Jonah. Jonah was walking and living in rebellion to God. He had options, Nineveh or Tarshish. God said Nineveh. What did Jonah take? He took Tarshish. So he was living in rebellion. Amen? So how to obey what God is telling you to do. Now we find in Jonah chapter 2 that Jonah decided to do something. In the belly of his whale experience, Jonah decided to do something very key. What did he decide to do? Jonah chapter 2. If you read the chapter, he cries out to God in the belly of the whale. And basically he is apologizing to God. He is repenting before God. And if you read Jonah chapter 2, let's go to verse 8 if you've got a Bible. If not, I'll read it to you. Jonah 2, verse 8. And this is what it says. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. And here's what Jonah says. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Jonah commanded the fish to spit Jonah out, and it vomited him onto dry land. What was Jonah doing in verses 8 through 10 of Jonah chapter 2? He's stuck in this tough place. He can't get out. He cries out to God, and he humbles himself under the mighty hand of God. He says, God, what I vow to do for you, I will do. Amen? Amen? So Jonah decided to walk away from his disobedience and rebellion and into the perfect plan of God for his life. He humbled himself. He bowed down to God and said, God, you know what? I was once in the driver's seat of my own life. I was doing what I wanted to do with my life. But God, now I submit to you. I surrender my life to you wholly, completely. What you're wanting me to do, I will do it. God, I humble myself before you. You are the creator and I am only the created. He humbled himself and he started to obey God. And friends, that's what we have got to do. We've got to do the same exact thing. Here at the mission, you may feel like you are in the belly of some type of whale right now. And your belly of the whale experience might be financial lack. It might be sickness in your body. It might be depression in your emotions. It might be a broken relationship. Maybe it's loneliness here at the mission. You're inside of some type of whale right now. What is God looking for in you and in me? He's looking for an attitude of humility like Jonah had in Jonah chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Saying, God, you've spoken to me in the past, and God, you know, in the past, I did my own will, not your will. God, in the past, I've said, my will be done and not yours, God, but God, my attitude has changed. Now I'm saying, God, your will be done, your kingdom come in my life. So God, speak to me about what you're wanting me to do, and God, I will do it. Friends, that's an attitude of humility. What does the Word of God say about humility in James 4, verse 6? It says that God opposes the proud, but he gives what to the humble? He gives grace to the humble. And that's what humility is. It's putting aside your will and saying, God, I'm putting my will aside. I'm putting my will, my desires to death. And God, I'm going to do what you're wanting me to do with my life. Amen? Amen. Shared the story last week of Hong Kong, and it bears repeating. And back in 2006, I was doing a lot of missionary work in the country of India for many years. And a good idea came to my mind. Jonathan, you might want to go to Hong Kong and share the gospel there. So there was this friend of mine who had been doing work in China. So he introduced me to this certain organization. And lo and behold, in about March of 2006, I applied with this organization, thinking I could go to Hong Kong and share the gospel. So I applied, I paid the money, got accepted, went to California for training. I believe it was in late June of 2006, and met my team of 18 to 21-year-olds. And let me tell you something. The trip was a fiasco. Total fiasco. It turned out to be so bad. It was not anything I believe that God had planned for my life. And you know what? I was, in my own mind, I was just doing the good thing, what sounded good. Man, I could bring the gospel to Hong Kong, but there was a problem in my life. I never consulted God on that project. I did what my mind thought was a good thing to do, but it was not the God thing for my life. And you know, when you don't consult God and you don't get His input, when you don't get orders from headquarters, you do the good thing and the consequences could be disastrous. You know, when you don't consult God and you just do what seems to be good, a lot of times you might be walking in disobedience and rebellion. And there could be some pretty negative consequences, like there was in my life with that Hong Kong trip. It was just a disaster of a trip. Like in Jonah's life, there was a storm that arose. He found himself in the belly of a whale because he disobeyed God. He did his own thing. Amen? Is that making sense? So, to obey God, in order to obey what God wants us to do, we have got to do what? We have got to, first of all, talk to God. We have got to seek the face of God. We talked about this last week. And that's exactly what Jonah was doing. Jonah chapter what? Jonah was in a tough place. Right? He was in a tough place. He wanted to get out of the belly of the whale. So what did he do? What did he do in Jonah chapter 2? He started seeking the face of God. He started talking to God. He started to cry out to God. And what did God do as a result of Jonah crying out? As a result of Jonah seeking his face? God spoke to Jonah. And he heard the voice of God. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And it says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you." So in order to obey what God is wanting you to do, friend, in order to do the God thing and not just a good thing, in order to walk obediently and not disobediently, you've got to cry out to God and then hear the voice of God for your life. Amen? And that's what Jonah did. He cried out to God in Jonah chapter 2. And then in Jonah 3:1, he heard the voice of God. And God said, "Jonah, I'm giving you a second chance to go to Nineveh and preach repentance." And this time, Jonah decided to do what? The second time, Jonah decided to obey instead of rebel. He decided to obey instead of disobey God, and he went to Nineveh. So the question for us today is this. Okay, Jonathan, if I cry out to God, if I'm in the belly of a whale in some area of my life, and I cry out to God and say, "God, I need your guidance. God, I need your grace. God, I need your strength." My question today, your question should be, how does God speak? How does God speak? Well, it seems like in Jonah's life that God spoke to Jonah maybe audibly. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Go." But a lot of times today, God is not going to speak audibly where we can hear Him physically with our ears, right? But God does speak. And there's ways in which God speaks. How are some of the ways that God will speak to us today in order for us to do the God thing and not just the good thing? To be obedient as opposed to disobedient. How do we do the God thing? How do we hear the voice of God? How does God speak? A lot of times God will speak with a still small voice of peace. Remember, he spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19 with a still small voice. There was an earthquake, there was a fire, there was this and that, there was a great wind, but God was in none of those things. And then there was a still small whisper, and God spoke to the prophet Elijah. It's the same way today. The same Holy Spirit lives in us today. The same Spirit of God lives in us today that spoke to Elijah in 1 Kings 19. And so Elijah heard the still small voice of peace, and he followed it. So, if there's options in front of you today, friends, and you've got several choices to make, do I hook up with this person or that person? Do I hook up with this ministry or that ministry? Do I move to this location or that location? Do I stay at this mission or go to another mission? You know, do I take this job or that job? There's options, there's choices in front of you today. And if God is telling you, yes, I want you to take this job at the BOK, or I want you to marry this person, or I want you to join this church, if God is saying yes to a question that you have, guess what? You'll hear the still small voice of peace on the inside. If God is giving you the green lights, the yes, the okay, you'll have what on the inside? You'll have the peace of God which surpasses any human understanding. You know, back in 2000s, I was looking for real estate for quite a long time. Like, it was probably like from the middle of 99 through 2000. Just looking for something to buy so I could live on my own independently from my family. Been looking at houses. I was looking at condominiums and so forth. And about November of 2000, my realtor showed me this this piece of property, this condominium. And I was just trying to decide. I had so many options, so many choices in front of me. And I walked into this piece of real estate, this condo, and the peace of God just overtook me on the inside. It was like God was saying, this is the one I want you to buy. Go ahead and buy it. And it's one of the best decisions I think I made in my life for that time in my life. I still live there. It's close to the highways. You know, it's closer to downtown than where I lived. I used to live in Broken Arrow. And it was just, it was an awesome opportunity. It's close to where my business is. And, you know, I just followed the still small voice of peace on the inside. And another example in my life. Back in 92, I was a senior in high school. And I was debating on which university to attend. I had applied to five different colleges on the East Coast. Four on the East Coast. And I just had no peace on the inside. And so I came home from school one day in January of 92, and my dad said, Jonathan, come down to my office. It was in the basement. We lived in New Jersey at that time. He sat me down. He said, Jonathan, I was just praying today, and I was reading this booklet, this pamphlet by Oral Roberts. And as I was reading this pamphlet, he advertised the university in the back of it. He said, the Spirit of God just came over me and said that Jonathan is to go to Oral Roberts University. And when my dad told me that, it was like a burden lifted off my shoulders. And the peace of God overtook my spirit. See, I had applied to several different universities. I had no peace on the inside. But when God spoke to my dad, it bore witness with my spirit that I was to go to ORU. And so I applied right away. And I was about 20 points short on a college entrance exam for getting a scholarship. So I called up the university. They said, Retake the exam. If you get the 20 points, we'll give you the scholarship. So I took the exam, and guess what? I kid you not. I got the 20 points I needed. No more and no less. And I got the scholarship. That was a sign from God that he was wanting me to go to ORU. It was an awesome experience. Had I not gone to ORU for the years I went, I wouldn't be here ministering to you guys today. Amen? But I followed the still small voice of peace saying, Jonathan, this is the school, the university I want you to attend. And that was God's best will for my life at that time. You know, I had good options in front of me. There were good colleges I was, you know, I could have gone to. But I instead went to the God college, the God choice for my life. If God did it for me, friends, he can do it for you. Amen? Amen. Amen. Follow the still small voice of peace. Now, if God is saying no, if you've got options, choices in front of you, and you're talking to God, you're crying out to God like Jonah did in Jonah chapter 2, and God is saying, no, this is not the path I'm wanting you to take, you won't have peace on the inside. If God is giving you the red light, the stop, what will you have on the inside? you'll have a lack of peace, turmoil on the inside. That's God saying, no, don't go down that path. And friends, I'm here to tell you today that if God is telling you no, He could be saving your life eternally and on this earth. If the Spirit of God is tugging at your heart and saying, no, this is not what I want you to do, and you step out and do it anyway, let me tell you today, you might be putting your life in danger. Because we can only see so far ahead. We can see a month ahead. We can see 2 or 3 months ahead. But God could see to the very end of our lives. And if you make the wrong move, it could negatively affect God's destiny for your life. Amen? Is that making sense? The opposite is also true. If you disobey, yes, there are negative consequences. But if you obey, there are what? There's positive consequences. God gave Jonah a second chance in Jonah chapter 3. God said, go back to Nineveh. I'm giving you a second chance to go to Nineveh. Jonah went to Nineveh. And what was the positive consequence? The entire nation repented before God. They were saved. Amen? I'm here to encourage you today. Obey what God is telling you to do by His Spirit. There will be positive repercussions. If you take the job that God is wanting you to take, what? You'll be promoted if you're diligent. You'll have more finances. You know, if you take you move to the city God is telling you to move to, you will be blessed. If you make that phone call, you write that note to that person, guess what? Reconciliation of that relationship is on its way for your life. But obey what God is telling you to do, and blessings will be around the corner for your life. Amen? But obey. Another way that God speaks, He speaks through His Spirit, the still small voice of peace. And a lot of times, God will speak to you through His written word, through the Bible. Look at Psalm 119, one last scripture. Psalm 119, verse 105. This is what he writes. He says, the psalmist writes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light for my path. What does a lamp do? Imagine this room here at midnight, pitch dark, pitch black. You can't see anything. You're bumping into chairs, you're bumping into the poles, you're bumping into the doorway. You just can't see anything, right? Because there's no light on, right? But as soon as you turn on the switch, what happens? The darkness is gone. It's dispelled. You can see the chairs. You're not bumping into walls. You're not bumping into chairs. The pathway is made clear. And it's the same way with our lives, friends. Maybe you're living in some confusion today. Maybe the paths of your life are dark right now and you don't know which way to go. It seems dark in your life. I encourage you to hear God from His written word, because His word is like a lamp. It's like a light for your path. His word will make clear the paths of your life so you can walk into God's perfect destiny for you. Amen?